Let's start where the gravity is heaviest this morning. Iran has now killed American troops directly. Two U.S. service members were killed in Jordan, and within hours, Iran launched what it's calling the 17th phase of Operation Sehei, targeting Camp Udairi and Ali al-Salem Air Base in Kuwait. Kuwait's air defense systems intercepted missile and drone attacks. We are no longer in the territory of proxy skirmishes. This is direct, acknowledged, lethal Iranian fire on American forces.
The operational name matters here, Marcus. Sehei means thunderbolt in Farsi. The fact that they're on phase 17 tells you this has been a sustained, structured campaign, not improvised retaliation. Iran has a playbook. They're executing it methodically. And the 17th phase coming on the same night American troops died in Jordan suggests a calculated escalation rather than a panicked response.
And the Pentagon's response has been equally deliberate. F-16s and F-35s are being rushed to the Middle East. The F-35s in particular are significant because their stealth capabilities are specifically suited to contested airspace. The assets being deployed aren't just defensive. When you send F-35s, you're building a strike package.
Meanwhile, Iran is telling Hezbollah and its regional allies to prepare for wider conflict. That message, delivered through the IRGC command structure, activates a network that includes Hezbollah in Lebanon, Houthi forces in Yemen, Shia militia groups in Iraq, and various Syrian-based factions. We're talking about a potential simultaneous multi-front activation across five countries.
Khamenei's public statement is worth examining closely. He called Trump's signature worthless, a reference to whatever memorandum of understanding had apparently been reached in recent nuclear negotiations, and warned of unforgettable lessons. That's the supreme leader publicly burning a diplomatic off-ramp while ordering military escalation. What's the read from the internal Iranian politics angle, Sarah?
That's where it gets genuinely complicated. At the exact same moment, Iran is escalating militarily outward. It's fracturing politically inward. Iran's hardline faction is accusing the country's leadership of staging what they're calling a soft coup amid the supreme leader's extended absence from public view. The question of who actually has decision-making authority in Tehran right now is not settled. You have an aging supreme leader whose health is in question, a military command structure running active operations, and domestic hardliners who think the leadership is insufficiently aggressive. That combination of external escalation and internal instability is exactly the environment where miscalculations happen.
On the American side, Senator Rand Paul has an interesting counterproposal. He's urging a sanctions trade, essentially offering Iran relief from economic pressure in exchange for physically removing their enriched uranium stockpile from the country. Paul's argument is that as long as the nuclear program can theoretically be restarted, military pressure won't achieve denuclearization. It's a libertarian realist position, and it's getting very little traction in the current environment.
And that's partly because the environment is so poisoned right now. When you have two American soldiers dead and active strikes on Allied bases, the political space for a negotiated compromise essentially collapses domestically. The question I keep coming back to is whether Iran's strategy is actually designed to foreclose diplomacy, to push the situation to a point where the only options are full-scale American military action or American withdrawal, with no middle ground available.
There's a foreign policy analysis circulating that adds another dimension here. National security experts are arguing that the Trump administration is using the Iranian drone activity as pretext for potential military action, not against Iran directly, but against Cuba. The alleged connection is that Iran has been cited in administration communications as operating through or near Cuba. The experts say this fits a pattern of manufactured justification for intervention in Havana.
That analysis has to be taken seriously, given the current information environment, even if the Cuba connection seems geographically implausible on its face. The administration has shown a pattern of using one genuine crisis to create the political and legal rationale for action in a separate theater. If you want to move against Cuba, being in the middle of an active confrontation with an Iranian-aligned network provides both the urgency narrative and the legal standing arguments.
The one variable that could change everything about the near-term trajectory is the Saudi uranium enrichment deal, which we'll cover in depth in our diplomacy segment. But even in this Iran segment, it's worth flagging that Trump tentatively agreeing to let Saudi Arabia enrich uranium without standard safeguards is happening simultaneously with an active Iranian nuclear standoff. The non-proliferation architecture is being stress-tested from multiple directions at once.